Hello, guys. How are you going? How's your week going? I'm a little bit more organized this week. You'd be very proud. It's Tuesday here, Tuesday morning actually. I set my alarm, got up early, had my morning coffee, and I'm cracking straight into this podcast because I previously have been doing other things until like Wednesday, sort of mid-morning, mid-afternoon, and then the podcast doesn't really get, until after I edit it, it doesn't get posted until, like, Wednesday night, like, 8 o'clock or whatever, so, I'm trying to be a little bit more organized, and recording it Tuesday morning, so it's hopefully Wednesday morning you can have the podcast, so. If it's Wednesday morning, well done. Well done, me. So, late last week, I learned from a good friend of mine who listens to this podcast that no one can hear my dog when she barks. So, I just look like a mad bastard every time I go, "Oh, sorry. Sorry my dog's barking," or "Sorry the cat's meowing. None of y'all can flip and hear it." Which is kind of funny. But now I'm going to try to ignore my dog when she barks. And if you can hear her, then not my problem. I'm just going to ignore it. So this week's podcast is going to be a little bit different, I guess, to previous podcasts. Previous podcasts have kind of been full on, I guess. I mean, you guys have seem to be liking them and enjoying them, but I am aware that they have been heavy kind of topics and fairly full on, I guess. It's just kind of a reflection of what I think about and what I worry about, I guess. That's what I talk to you guys about. Not solely, though. I also talk about things that I like or enjoy. I've got a pimple in my nose. I don't like or enjoy that. If you've had a pimple in your nose, you will be able to empathize with the anguish. It's not nice. Someone said to me yesterday, "Oh, I haven't listened to your podcast episode yet," and I was like, "Don't worry, there's no rush. It'll be there as long as the internet exists." And it got me thinking that this podcast, given that we don't, you know, ruin our planet and the internet, is going to be still here and available to listen to when I'm an old fart with grandkids. And it kind of got me thinking about that, and I was like, that's pretty cool. It's going to be interesting to hear what my life was like when I was a youngin', a wayward youth, and what kind of beliefs I had and things like that, you know, when I'm like 60 or 70 or whatever, and I find the old podcast link and have a listen to 22-year-old me harping on about stuff. And see if I was right about anything. I should make some big calls, some big predictions. See if I'm right. If you're listening now, 70-year-old me, how you going? What's the crack? Extremely rude of me. But yeah, hopefully it's not embarrassing. Hopefully it's interesting and not embarrassing when I listen back to this when I'm an old guy. I go, "Listen to this, genius, eh? Listen to this." But yeah, it's kind of like a diary of my thought processes and like what matters to me at the time, which is pretty cool, I think. And something that technology is allowing that would have been previously impossible, I guess, unless you, of course, wrote everything down on a week-by-week basis, which some people do, and some people have, but you wouldn't have been able to hear your own voice when you were a young person, you know, I guess 100 years ago or whatever. It would have just been a memory. So, so this podcast is going to be a little bit different to most podcasts that I've done so far. I did ask you guys on Instagram if you'd like me to talk about investing, and much to my surprise, everyone who voted yes. So if we have time today, I will dip into a little bit of that later on. But for the first half of this podcast, at least, I want to talk a little bit about astronomy, because that was actually a request of a listener. Said on the very first podcast, I said that I was interested in astronomy, and when you look into it, like, how could you not be interested in astronomy? It's just like the facts and information about our universe out there is like we don't even have numbers to sort of represent the vastness of it, you know, like they come up with bloody, you know, new numbers like the gigabillion or whatever, just to try and kind of I think for us sort of human beings here on Earth, counting our $10 notes and whatever, to grasp concepts like how far away is Mars or how far away is the Sun and things like this, it's kind of hard for us to even kind of consider or conceive of such huge things, like how big the universe is. You can't go like, well, if you got a football field and you put one football field end to end, the universe would be 7.9 to the power of 14 gigaton billion watts long. Like, does that make sense? Like, we don't have the capability in our brain to sort of comprehend things like that. Like, it just doesn't mean anything to us. We're like, well, I'm guessing that's a long way. But it's not like going three football fields, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's about the length of, oh yeah, like you can understand it. But there's just so much stuff out there in the universe that it's just beyond comprehension. Anyway, I have figured out where we go to when we die. According to the Bible, it's a place called Korot 7b. Korot 7b, I think it's, I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's a planet that's 60 times closer to its star than we are to our sun. So during the day, this place gets to, it's in our solar system, in the Milky Way solar system. It is an observable distance away, so we're able to check it out with the Hubble telescope and write some stuff down about it. It gets to about 2,600 degrees Celsius during the day, which is hot enough to melt and vaporize rocks. So on that planet, the sun vaporizes all the rocks into the sky, or the atmosphere, like how our sun vaporizes water into the atmosphere. And just like our planet rains water, this flipping planet rains rocks. And then at night time, it gets to negative 230 degrees Celsius. There's they've written down here, when discovered in 2009, Korot 7b was thought to be the first rocky Earth-like exoplanet discovered. However, we now classify it as uninhabitable and place the probability of life on this world as none. That cracked me up. Like, not, they haven't said the possibility for life on this planet is slim. They're just straight up gone, none. There is no possibility for life at all on Co-Rot 7B. Not even microorganisms, it's too flippin' crap. I don't know, I found that funny. Something else I was thinking about. Actually this morning, is why we can't just agree. Like, why do we have different standards of how much certain values are, if that makes sense? Like, a billion is different in the US than it is in the UK. It's always the US and the UK, they're the sort of the rivals. The US needs to cop onto themselves and get the metric system going, like everyone else. But the number nonillion, have you ever heard of the number nonillion? N-O-N-I-L-L-I-O-N. You probably haven't. I hadn't heard of that number before today. But of course it's different in the US and the UK. But by flipping 24 zeros, in the US a nonillion is 1 with 30 zeros behind it. And in the UK it's freaking 54 zeros. Why would they make those numbers so different? It's essentially just a made up thing, right? We all have to agree on a name for a certain amount of things. Like, we go, okay, there's that many things there, let's call that 10, and we all agree on that. It's the same with a nonillion. Like, the US has gone, right, we'll call 30 zeros nonillion, and the UK is like 54 zeros. But yeah, there's 24 more zeros than what the UK uses. I don't get the point in that. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about a nonillion is because there's a planet called 55 Cancri E. Cancri E. All these bloody planets have bizarre names. Anyway, it's known for being 1/3 diamond. So the atmosphere, I think it's mainly made out of carbon, if I'm remembering correctly. But the pressure of the atmosphere has condensed the mass of this planet, has condensed 1/3 of it into diamond, which is pretty crazy. And anyway, they reckon it's worth 26.9 nonillion, which is why I had to go looking up what the heck a nonillion was. And then that's when I found that the US and the UK have vastly different ideas on what a nonillion might be. And I guess they have to put a figure on it, but I don't know. Something's value, I guess, is only ever as much as someone's willing to pay for it, right? Like, the coffee that I had this morning would be worth 1 nonillion if someone bought it off me for that much. So it's like, how could this planet be worth 26.9 nonillion? No one's gonna... Maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe a Dubai prince will fork out 26.9 nonillion for a 1/3 diamond planet that he'll never be able to go to. Crazier things have happened. Probably not, actually. Anyway, if that wasn't weird enough, there's a planet called HD 198733b, and it's blue. I think some people call it the other blue planet. Anyway, this flippin' trippy planet orbits its sun 13 times closer than Mercury. So Mercury is the planet in our solar system which orbits the closest to the sun, and it's very hot on Mercury. As you can imagine, it's very hot on HD 198733b as well. And so yeah, it gets up to like 1,000 degrees Celsius on this planet, and the winds on this planet gust around at up to 10,000 kilometers per hour, which is ridiculous enough. Like, those winds alone would make the planet freaking uninhabitable for most things. And so the heat, 1,000 degrees Celsius, the atmosphere contains this kind of, it's called silicate, which is this this salt stuff. And because of the heat, this salt stuff condenses into basically glass, which is then blown around the planet sideways at up to 10,000 kilometers per hour. So sideways rain on Earth is pretty annoying, but imagine it raining sideways freaking glass at 10,000 kilometers. This planet is literally just death. So I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but I went traveling in 2015 after I finished high school, and I went to a few places, mainly Europe and Asia, England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland. I went to Spain, India, and Bali. And when I came home, especially having just come from India for a month and then Bali for a month, I had this sort of this newfound perspective on New Zealand, you know, of just thinking, frick yeah, this place is the bomb. Having traveled and experienced and experiencing these other places, I think this is quite common, but you know, it gave me this new appreciation for the country that I live in. You know, there's a lot that I don't like about New Zealand, of course, like any place. You know, like how we brand ourselves as this flippin', you know, clean green utopia, when our pollution is just as bad as most other places, and worse in some cases, and we have some of the worst domestic violence and obesity rates in the world. Righty rah, but overall New Zealand, of course, is pretty good. And I haven't been to space yet, but the people who have been into outer space and who experienced the scariness and emptiness and I guess overwhelm of what it's like to be away from our sort of safe haven and like actually physically looking back at this blue and green planet teeming with life amongst this flippin' ridiculous universe full of ridiculous planets raining glass and stones. You know, these astronauts reckon that, you know, the Earth is a miracle, and seem to have a similar experience to me coming back to New Zealand, obviously on a much larger scale. They're like yo, space was sick, but far out, this little planet we got here is tight as hell, and we should not destroy it. We should keep it good so we can live here. Of course, not everyone can have that experience. But when I get lost in astronomy and researching different planets and the craziness of our universe, like I did this morning, like I do sometimes, I get kind of bursts of anxiety. Well, not, I don't know if it's anxiety, but yeah, no, bursts of anxiety, just kind of thinking about how we're stuffing up this planet. And I think if everyone had the opportunity to go to space and see our gorgeous planet from out there, we would all have a much deeper appreciation and respect for this this thing we live on. And I'd like to think we'd look after it better, because it's not as resilient as we think it is, I think. But sure, what would I know? Nothing. The universe is pretty flippin' stuffed up. Like, it's where we live, of course. We live in the universe, and apparently every second, 4,800 new stars are born. Like stars like our sun, you know, massive bloody things. Every second 10 stars explode, forming black holes. Black holes are flippin' trippy. I don't know if you guys have learnt much about black holes. They're very interesting. In fact, I've bought Stephen Hawking's book, A Brief History of Time, in which I believe he talks quite a lot about black holes, because black holes were a sort of one of the main points of his research. R.I.P. And he's a very clever man, and I think he's got a lot of clever things to say. So I'm going to read those clever words and try my best to understand them with my my puny brain and my relatively minuscule understanding of the universe and the world and stuff. But it should be interesting, and maybe I'll learn some interesting things that I can share with you. But yeah, a lot of crazy crap happens in our universe. If you want to feel small, you are one person out of 7 billion people on one planet, out of 8 planets, orbiting one star out of 300 billion stars in one galaxy, the Milky Way, out of 200 to 2 trillion galaxies. Try and freaking wrap your head around that. 300 billion stars in just our galaxy, the Milky Way. And there's up to 2 trillion galaxies. And it's constantly expanding, as well as the other thing that Stephen Hawking, that was one of his sort of his findings, is that our universe is expanding just like constantly, every second, 900 million miles to be exact. I've just read that. The outer edges of the universe expand by 900 million miles per second. Like, what the heck? So much stuff that you just can't even comprehend. You can't even comprehend it. How is it expanding that flippin' quickly? Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And what's it expanding into? You know, what's on the other side? What's on the edge? Classic questions, eh? Stuff that I hope we find that sort of stuff out within my lifetime. I know our understanding of the universe and the solar systems and all of that within the last 50 years has increased and changed dramatically. We're constantly discovering all of these new planets and like all those planets that I talked about before, like the HD 198, whatever. All those planets were discovered within the last 50 years since we've started getting serious flipping telescopes going. Some hardcore boys. Time is another thing that we could talk about. Time is flipping weird. Like, it's not a constant thing. It slows down at high speeds. Like, the faster you're going, the slower time goes. I don't understand that. I can't wrap my head around it. But and time also slows down around massive objects. So massive objects have an effect on the linearness of time. And apparently time stops completely at the speed of light. I don't know how that works. I guess, does that mean that if you're traveling at the speed of light, I don't understand it. Apparently time doesn't exist in the center of a black hole, is the other thing. And how they've figured that out is beyond me. I've got no idea. So, back to our Milky Way galaxy, which is the galaxy that our solar system is inside of. It's very big, of course. From one side to the other, is 100,000 light years. And as again, that's just another thing that that's hard for us to sort of comprehend or understand, or sort of, you know, how many football fields is that? Freaking heck. But the interesting thing that I learned not long ago, is you guys are probably aware that as humans, we're constantly sending out radio signals going, "Hello, who's out there?" Constantly sending out radio signals, and we are able to send radio signals out as far as 95 light years away. So if you look at a diagram of the Milky Way, and then it's like a pinpoint, a little pinpoint is where is the radius of how far we can reach with our radio signals. It's like, you know, less than 1% of our galaxy is how far we were able to go. "Hello, is there anyone there?" And which is just ridiculous. There's so much of our galaxy alone that we're not able to contact, or be contacted, I guess, depending on the technology. But I don't know, you information like this, and when you're looking at things like this, I guess it's, for me, it makes it, how do I say this, the craziness of like our world and the universe is sort of forces me to be open-minded about crazy things, do you know, because I'm trying to explain this in a way that makes sense. With things like black holes existing that we didn't know existed not long ago, and the craziness of frickin' planets that are raining glass, and things that that not long ago would have been perceived, you know, impossible, or you know, not long ago we thought, this is classic, and I feel like it sums up humans so well. We thought the Earth was the center of the universe. You know. We literally thought everything revolves around us, which I feel is just flippin' funny. It's just crack up. It's like, what a classic thing for humans to believe. You know, I'm not ripping out the scientists of the past because they're clever people, but it's like, it just seems fitting that humans kind of thought that the whole universe revolved around them. And things like, who was it? His name is escaping me now, but the first guy whose theory, who said, actually no, just in our little solar system, the sun is the center of our solar system, the Earth revolves around it, the moon revolves around us, we revolve around the Earth along with Mercury, Saturn, Jupiter, the first guy who sort of proposed that was a flippin' nutter. Well, he wasn't a nutter, he was dead right, of course, but he was sort of casted aside as a nutter in his time. People said that, you know, basically just didn't believe him and just thought he was ridiculous. And I imagine there would have been people at that time who were open-minded to that idea and going, well, maybe the Earth isn't the center of the universe, maybe you're right. And his ideas, I don't think, were actually seriously considered until about 10 years after he had, it was Copernicus, I think, a bloke called Copernicus, who was, and that was in like the 1500s, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't until the 1700s, all of this is regurgitated, so don't quote me, but it wasn't until the 1700s that, you know, that researchers were taking a serious look again at his work and going, oh, well, actually, your man had a point here, and which is sad, because imagine having this idea and thinking that the Earth is not the center of the universe and being pretty sure about it and being condemned because of it for challenging the beliefs at the time, and then dying, and then however many centuries later people figuring out that you were right. And you never know, because you just had this idea, and everyone said stop being an egg, and then you died. It was like he never had the satisfaction of going, I told you so. But yeah, so that kind of thing makes almost forces me to be open-minded. Where I do try to be open-minded with most things. Of course, sometimes it's hard to be open-minded, but just with things like that, and such extremely crazy stuff that happens in our world and in our universe that that you just never would have thought could, you know, our tiny human brains could never have thought would be the case. I don't know, I think it's important to be open-minded in this crazy world of ours, floating on a rock in the middle of nothing with all these other rocks, and yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, hopefully I'm gonna buy Stephen Hawking's book, give him a couple bucks, and sip on his knowledge. Have you ever wondered how they got Stephen Hawking's speech technology developed? Because that was one thing that I used to wonder about, like if he can't talk, or you know, if he can't move his lips or produce sound, how does his thoughts get translated into the machine that that goes, hello, how are you? You know the one. That was a terrible impersonation, but I'm sure you got the point. And apparently, you know the sensor in your phone, when you put it up to your ear, depending on what phone you've got, if you've got an iPhone or something, you put your phone up to your ear, and the phone knows it's by your ear, and it'll turn the screen off. The same type of technology, the sensory type of technology, is used to monitor the very slight movements of Mr. Hawking's cheeks. And so how they had to develop it, this must have taken so long. So he would move his cheek in a certain way, so he would go, you can't see me, but he'd move his cheek in a very slight way, and he would go, in his mind he'd be going, right, well, the word I'm trying to say here is dog. So he'd move his cheek in that kind of a way, and he would be given a selection of words, and he would have to spell out the word that he's trying to say. And then so the other people would go, right, okay, we think Stephen Hawking's trying to say dog. Very profound, Stephen, thank you. And then they would program the machine to go, or the sensor and the technology can go, okay, when Steve bloody wiggles his cheek in such a manner, he's trying to say dog. And so he would wiggle his cheek in such a manner, and the machine would go, dog. And so they had to do that with just about every freaking word, as far as I'm aware. Which would have taken a long time, because you think about how many words I've probably used in this short podcast so far. Be freaking hundreds. And it would take a long time to get all that sorted out, which is very impressive. Kind of adds to the impressiveness of old mate Hawking. I have decided that I'm not going to delve into the world of investing today. For one reason, I feel like it's going to be rather dull, following my conversation about crazy planets and stuff. It's going to be like investing, you know. It's not going to be quite as interesting, is it? So we might save that for another day. And the second reason I'm not going to go into it is I have an assignment due at the end of the week. And this podcast is like an assignment in itself. Like for this, just for this episode today, this morning I wrote 1,000 words on Word documents. Just kind of writing my thoughts down and writing down a few facts and a bit of research about, you know, the planets and Stephen, old Steve Hawke, and stuff like that. So, and then editing this podcast often takes a while, and just coming up with what to say as well sometimes just takes a bit of time. However, usually when I get started, I tend to slip into a bit of a roll, and things just sort of come to me, you know, as I'm going, as they do. But yeah, I've got an assignment at the end of this week, and then I've got an exam coming up fairly soon as well. So I'm gonna hook into that for the rest of today, and well, I hope you've enjoyed today's slightly different than usual podcast about the intergalactic world. I hope you find it as interesting as I do, because I really do find it very interesting. I kind of, you know, I guess everyone gets lost in their world of, in their world on planet Earth, and you just kind of forget that you're on this freaking floating thing in the middle of all this other stuff, and there's all these other bloody galaxies and universes, galaxies and solar systems and stars and black holes and all this type of crazy stuff. You kind of just forget that that's all going on. I think it, I find it hard to believe that there's not life out there, you know? Like, how, you know how I was saying before, how our radio signals can reach 95 light years away. Like, if you looked at a dinner plate, and you imagine that the dinner plate was a 2-scale size of our Milky Way galaxy, and then you just got a pin and dipped the pin in a bit of ink, and went bop and made a little dot of ink on the dinner plate. That would be like a kind of a visual representation of how far, roughly, our signals have been able to reach inside of our dinner plate sized galaxy. And it's like, there's a lot out there, is what I'm saying. It's like, the universe is freaking massive, bigger than you and I could ever imagine, and it's full of crazy stuff, and we're finding new things all the time. So, I don't know, I think it's rather closed-minded to think. It kind of relates to that whole, we are the center of the universe. It's like, how could you think that us little humans on planet Earth are the only living beings in the whole universe? It's like, I don't think that could be possible, to be honest, with, you know, with how many freaking galaxies there are out there. What did I say before? Up to, what, 200 trillion galaxies or something? Something like that. It's like, how could there not be other life out there? Anyway, that's my take on it. It's got, from my perspective, it's just kind of like, there's got to be, you know? It's just got to be. How could there not? Anyway, I will, I'm not going to delve too far into that, because that's not something I think about often. It's just got me thinking there. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, this episode, a bit different than usual. If you have enjoyed it, leave me a review or send me a message and let me know. Give me some feedback. Tell a friend about this podcast is the other thing, especially if you're not in New Zealand. Even if you are in New Zealand, I mean, I think about 70% of my listeners are New Zealand based, and then we get kind of new places popping up quite often. I think the most recent place I think is Norway, I believe. Got some listeners in Norway. So yeah, if you're enjoying the podcast, you think someone else might enjoy it, then let them know. Subscribe, leave a review, all those good things to make my day. And I'll sign off for now. Go in peace. Remember to always have a bit of compassion for yourself and for others. And remember that everyone is an individual with things, with crap going on in their lives. So if someone's nasty to you, try and have a bit of compassion and realize that they're hurting. A bit sad. I didn't actually mean to dive into that at the very end of this podcast, but do have some compassion for yourselves, and I will talk to you mother flippers next Wednesday.